Up next, let's take a deep dive into the archives at Travel with Rick Steves. Several years ago, we asked listeners to tell us about scary encounters they had on their European vacations, and their stories did not disappoint. So we thought we'd dig them up and hear them again. If you'd like to share your travel stories with us, our email address is radio@ricksteves.com. Jack's on the phone in Sussex, New Jersey. Jack, thanks for your call.
Yeah, actually, we were on a tour in England, and one of the towns we stopped at was a little town called Stanton, and we went to a church called St. Michael's Church. And what I like to do is sometimes I take my compass with me, and what that does is it looks for electromagnetic fields, which are kind of like creepy areas. We checked out the graveyard in the church, and we found some strong magnetic fields in one corner of the church. So we went there, and it was like, you know, you just got this, like, real creepy feeling when you're in that area in the church.
Really?
Yeah. It was
so it registered on your meter, and you could feel it in your gut.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Are you, like, just a normal person, or do you have this happen to you all the time?
No, I'm just a normal person. We usually like to take our little compass around. I don't have a regular magnetic meter, but I just take my compass. And what was nice, I was trying to show the other people on the tour about how to do it, too. So they really got into it, and everybody had a compass. They were starting to check out different areas.
So let me get this straight, Jack. You got just a regular compass, and you walk around, and it will act erratic when there's something creepy going on.
Yes, exactly, because what it'll do, it'll point away from magnetic north and go to an area of high magnetic intensity.
And what might that be?
Usually it's an area of paranormal area where you may have a ghost or
now,
some other type of paranormal activity.
I don't know if you realized this, Jack, but you were at a church dedicated to St. Michael, and you can conclude when you have a church dedicated to St. Michael that there was some pagan activity there before Christianity, because when the Christians came in 1,000 years ago or something, they would make a point to put St. Michael on that spot because he was the saint that would take care of pagan spirits.
Well, that's pretty weird.
That's
creepy right there.
Anytime you find a church of St. Michael, you can pretty much predict there is a Stonehenge kind of thing underneath if you dig down there.
Well, that would make sense then why I was getting high magnetic readings then.
No, I'm getting kind of creeped out right here. It's just,
yeah,
that's so
cool,
exciting.
Huh?
You know, that reminds me once way back when I was a minibus tour guide. I would run around Britain with 8 people on a minibus. We'd never know where we're going to sleep tonight. And we checked into this one kind of a guest house on a hill, sort of in a windy sort of Netherland. And it was a cheap place, and we needed a room, and I didn't have reservations for my tours back then. We checked in, and it was on a ley line. You know, the ley lines are those sort of lines that connect all the Stonehenge-type sites and the St. Michael's and the pagan things, and they crisscross England. And some people think they brought the stones all the way to Stonehenge by taking advantage of the energy along these ley lines. Well, we checked into this guest house, and all of us went to our rooms, and it was so odd. Within like 5 minutes, we were all out in the hallway thinking, we can't spend the night here. This is too creepy. And like a bunch of cartoon characters, we all grabbed our bags, ran back to our bus, loaded it up, and just drove out of there. We vacated. It was so it was so creepy. So this part of England is that way. And if you go to Glastonbury, that's sort of the capital of all this.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. We were in that area. But that was the only, St. Michael's Church was the only one I really got a real good reading from.
I found a new use for my compass now. I'm going to go to St. Michael's Church and see if it quivers in a creepy kind of way.
Yeah. What you want to do is, before you go into the churchyard, check your north reading so you make sure that you know which way your north reading is. So if the needle does move out of the north, you'll know. But it was pretty cool. And sometimes it'll actually go around. But
you wouldn't want to do this alone. You take your travel partner with you.
Yes, and that's for sure. That's for sure. Take
Jack in New Jersey, thanks a lot, and stay safe.
Okay, thank
bye-bye.
You, Rick. Okay, bye-bye.
Anne's on the phone in Elwood Park, Illinois. Anne, thanks for your call.
Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, were you listening to Jack's story there?
I was. It sounded very creepy.
Wow. What is your creepiness overseas?
Well, my friend and I 2 years ago were just hanging around in Prague at about 11 o'clock at night, and we know that the city is a little bit haunted with ghosts here and there. So we were just taking pictures, just goofing around, and all of a sudden she takes a picture of me, and she goes, "There's something in the background." So I turned around behind myself to see if there was anything there, and there was absolutely nothing. I mean, there was no people around, nothing. We look at the picture, and we zoom in onto it, and there's these two figurely-looking things. It looks like blurs, But then we zoomed in a little bit closer, and one of them would look like a hunched over person, and the other one actually had this blurred out face to it. And we just stopped where we were. We're like, oh my goodness, we are in Prague, and there's ghosts around us. We just, needless to say, we just went home right afterwards. We were a little bit freaked out.
So now, you actually have this image on
your... I do. I should send it to you.
If you email it to us, we'll put it on our website.
Okay, definitely. Yeah.
That is cool.
The zoomed in part two, I'll show you.
So we will share it with our listeners who are bold enough to go to our website and check that out. Wow.
Perfect for Halloween.
Behind you, there was two blobs that turned out to be faces.
Yes.
Where were you in Prague?
We were right in the middle of the town square.
Town square, because that's where the Jan Hus statue is.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jan Hus was that reformer who was burned at the stake 100 years before Martin Luther.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I look at Jan Hus, and I think of the flames engulfing his body,
yeah.
And I think of the national pride the Czechs have for
exactly.
a man who translated the Bible into their language so they could read it direct without monks and priests editing it for them and so
yep.
on. And I just think there's some spookiness there. There's
there
some
really
stuff
is.
Going on. Now, one thing I got to ask you, had you consumed any of the Czech beer before this happened?
Not that night.
Because
but
it's
previous nights we did.
You know, the Czech beer, it hits your table like water
exactly.
does here.
It's very strong.
And it's very strong. For years, I went to the Czech Republic traveling around, and I'd have a beer at lunch, not because I order it, but because it's sort of the default. That's what they give you.
Yep.
And I noticed my productivity after lunch was way down. And I never put it together until later I learned that the beer was so much stronger. And I had what I called Czech knees. So if you're seeing funny faces and it's after you've had some of that Czech beer, I think you got to discount that. But you
exactly.
did it alcohol-free.
No, alcohol-free on that night.
Are you going back to Prague and see if you can meet your friends again?
Hopefully sometime soon.
All right.
Hopefully one day we'll see some other ghosts around.
Yeah, it's a great city with or without ghosts. But I know Prague is one of the more haunted places in Europe.
Yep.
Take care.
Thank you.
Okay,
too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
From ghoulies and ghosties and long-legged beasties and things that go bump in the night, our Travel with Rick Steves listeners are sharing some of their spookiest travel memories from their old-world European vacations right now at 877-333-RICK. Jenny's on the line in Houston. Jenny, are you okay?
I am. How are you, Rick?
I'm getting kind of scared. Everybody's had these stories, and I just hope they're not coming this way. But do you have something you can share about scary things in your travels?
I do. My husband and I were in Paris a couple summers ago, and we went to visit the catacombs. And, you know, there's a tunnel that you walk through before you enter the actual room with the bones and the skulls in it. And right when we got to that entrance, there was a sign in French that warns you that you're about to enter the Empire of the Dead. And I kind of made a mocking, ooh, scary noise.
Okay,
and
let me interrupt you here because yes. maybe our listeners don't quite know what the catacombs are, but way back in the French Revolution times, in Napoleon times, they decided that graveyards were not hygienic, and they decreed that all of the graveyards around the churches would be emptied and turned into public spaces, and they would move all of the bones to the old quarry tunnels under the streets of Paris. So they spent a whole generation, really, carting all these bones under the streets, and they're stacked neatly, and it is literally millions of skulls and tibia and fibia. And today, it's an attraction where tourists can go down this long, long, long stairway and then walk through these ancient quarry tunnels surrounded by millions of bones from unearthed cemeteries of all the churches in Paris. Now, with that in mind, you saw the arch announcing that what was happening, and you can carry on with your story.
Sure, that the arch was announcing that you were about to enter the Empire of the Dead. And so, like I said, I said, ooh, scary, and my husband took a picture of me, and we crossed the threshold, and immediately my husband's flashlight popped and went completely dark, and my flashlight went out. And we fiddled with them for a couple of minutes but couldn't get them to come back on. So we stepped back out into the tunnel, and I kind of said, oh, I shouldn't have been irreverent. I'm so sorry. My flashlight immediately came back on, and we remained very reverent throughout the rest of our tour in the catacombs. And like you said, the skulls and the tibias and fibias are right there. You could practically touch them.
Oh, man.
But the scariest part to me was when we were working on our travel blog, we uploaded that picture. And to this day, when you visit our travel blog, that picture just shows up as a red X. You can't see it at all for some reason.
The moment all of the spirits of all those bones of the permanent Parisians put to your camera in the dark.
Exactly.
You know, when you're down there, you can almost smell the bones, can't you?
And it's very cool and crisp down there beneath the city.
You know, you've heard of plaster of Paris. They have all
yes.
this white chalky stuff, because that's what they were mining, apparently, or quarrying. And when I go into the catacombs for the rest of the day, my feet are caked in this white stuff. And
that's right. It's all over your shoes.
And you remind yourself, you've entered and survived the empire of the dead. On my very first time, I went there as a teenager, and that was before it was very sophisticated, and you could just basically go down there and rummage around. And I remember, as a crass, thoughtless teenager, I picked up a skull.
Oh,
and
wow.
And I looked at it, and I could do that Hamlet thing, you know? And I came just moments from putting it into my little day bag and stealing it. And I thought, this would be so cool to have a skull on my mantle when I get home. And I decided not to. Just because I thought it would spook me, it would haunt me, it might even curse me, you know, it could curse you. And then I went back a couple years later and I had my nerve up and I was going to actually do it. And then all the skulls were wired in place and they wouldn't let anybody do that. And they had guards checking your bags as you left the place. So apparently they had some people stealing skulls. And that reminds me a little story of my own, Jenny. I was in Romania once visiting friends, and this was during the Soviet era, and I had to shuttle around every night to a different home. And in Romania, they have a tradition of unearthing the graves of their dead grandparents after
wow.
a couple of generations, and they literally put the skull that's been rotted clean, you know, on their mantle. So you're in somebody's living room, and right next to the TV and over by the magazines on the mantle, you've got grandpa's skull sitting on the mantle. And I thought, that is a unique tradition you find only in Romania.
Wow, that is incredible.
Hey, well, when people go to Paris, would you recommend that they enter the Empire of the Dead?
Absolutely. It's so fascinating to see the way the skulls have survived the ages. Some are green, some have holes in them. It's just really fascinating.
And with one caveat, respect the dead.
Absolutely.
All right, Jenny in Houston, thanks for your scary call.
Thanks, Rick. Great to talk to you.
Take care. Stay safe.
Okay, you too.
Jerry's on the phone in Minneapolis. Jerry, thanks for your call.
Well, my wife and I are relatively new travelers, but we were in Paris 2 years ago and went to the catacombs. Both of us are claustrophobic to start with.
So
probably wasn't the best place in the world to go.
Now, these were the same catacombs Jenny was just talking about, right?
Rue d'Enfer, I believe.
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We found it absolutely amazing. Pretty much experienced the same thing. Just it was amazing to see the mortality that's been stacked artistically throughout the catacombs.
And it's interesting to note that all the dead from each church is collected together, and there's a thoughtful little plaque that says, these are the remains of the parishioners of this or that church from this or that arrondissement.
It is, and the stories that I heard, at least, were that the priests brought all the remains down in the middle of the night in black carts.
Yeah.
So the Parisians did not see this actually happening.
You know, ultimately it cleaned up the city, and they have nice public spaces around the churches now. And as we travel all over Europe, we've got to remember the churchyards used to be cluttered with tombstones because everybody wanted to be close to the church in their death to wait the second coming or his day of salvation or whatever. It was not hygienic, and it was congesting things. In the age of revolutionary time, when people were being so logical and less emotional, and people were even questioning whether religion made sense at all, Napoleon said, we've just got to unearth all these stupid graveyards and get them outside of town or move them out. And that really made a big change on what we see in Europe today.
My wife and I, basically, our scary part was trying to get out with all these crystallized skulls and everything. But
Now you had an experience in the Père Lachaise Cemetery also?
Well, to me, that cemetery is just amazing. But I saw the most eerie, I guess it's a mausoleum, but they're all eerie there. I mean, it's such beautiful artwork. But there is one, it's...
The family Raspail?
Raspail, yes. Where it's just a normal-sized mausoleum. But we were there close to sunset. There's like a granite or marble figure in mourning that has its hand up on the mausoleum. It's a full-size figure, and it's just totally draped in what would look like mourning rags. And it's
but it's out of stone.
It's out of stone,
yeah.
And there's no face.
You know, that's a whole art style that I've noticed in cemeteries around Europe. It's sort of late 1800s, I think, and it's this Belle Epoque or Art Nouveau something, or I don't know what, but it's very super emotional. The National Cemetery in Milano is really great that way. And of course, in Paris, the ultimate cemetery is the one you're talking about, Père Lachaise. And we've even got a guided tour of that cemetery in our book that's very popular, because you go there and you can see, you know, Jim Morrison and Frédéric Chopin and lots of
Oscar
famous...
Oscar Wilde.
He's the one that's covered with lipstick, isn't he?
Yes, I myself didn't kiss it. My wife thought about it, but she thought, this isn't too hygienic, you know.
But you can wander around forever in that place, and it can be spooky.
But especially when you get up into more of the World War II survivors, the Holocaust survivors. And up into
oh,
the
and there's
Jewish
powerful stuff from the Holocaust and World War II. A lot of heroics and a lot of memorials there. Jerry, thanks for your call, Jerry, and stay safe this scary time of year, okay?
Well, it's actually Halloween is my birthday, so it's kind of a fun one, too.
Then you'll be okay. That's a good
one.
Okay, happy travels. And Michael's on the line in Raleigh, North Carolina. Michael, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Rick. We were doing sort of the Luther's Footsteps tour in Germany, going to Wittenberg and Eisenach and Wartburg Castle and so forth. We were visiting the site just north of Erfurt, where Luther was supposedly hit by lightning, and when he prayed to the saint and vowed that he would become a monk if he was saved. And kind of hard to find, but a very nice little park, very small with some monuments and a nice grove of trees, very nice little spot. And a few nights later, we were camping, and we were in a terrible, terrible thunderstorm. You know, we were in a dome tent with my wife and son, and it was raining and lightning and thunder, and I've never been in a thunderstorm this strong, or the thunder and lightning so close.
So that could scare you into the arms of the Lord.
We survived, of course, and I didn't vow to become a monk afterward, but you could really feel...
You could imagine what somebody 500 years ago that really was, in those days, the weather was God angry or something like that.
Exactly. I mean, you could really feel that in that thunderstorm.
Yeah, people who don't know the story of Martin Luther, how he really got serious about his mission on this planet, that lightning storm was quite pivotal, wasn't it?
He was going back to Erfurt to go to law school.
Huh.
Which his father wanted him to be a lawyer,
yeah.
Not a monk. And
hmm.
That was the pivotal point that he continued on into Erfurt and walked into the monastery instead of the law school.
I don't want to draw too much into that, but had that lightning not occurred, every Christian today might still be Roman Catholic.
That's a big possibility.
Thought-provoking. All right, Michael, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Oh, boy, when you go to Europe, you need more than a money belt sometime. The place is crawling with ghosts. Thanks for your calls. This is Rick Steves. Travel with Rick Steves. Happy Halloween.
Zig, 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 la mort rentre dans sa frappant une tombe avec son talon. La mort à minuit joue un des danses. Zig, zig, zag sous son violon. Le vent divers souffle et la nuit sombre, des gémissements sortent des tilleuls, des squelettes blancs vont à travers l'ombre, courant et sautant sous le grand linceul.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton, Kazmira Hall, and Donna Bardsley at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington. Our website is managed by Andrew Wakeling. Affiliate relations are by Sheila Gerzoff. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. You can find links to our guests and search the show archives at ricksteves.com/radio. We'll see you next week for more Travel with Rick Steves.
Boo!